The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall bring you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. First of all, let me wish all of you a very, very happy and healthy new year, as this is our first program of 2023. Seems hard to believe we've actually made it this far. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday. So let's start off with some interesting facts. 23 U.S. geography facts you didn't learn in school. Do you think you know everything about the good old U.S. of A.? These fascinating U.S. geography facts guaranteed to blow your mind. Did you know that the world's entire population could fit inside the state of Texas? Get this. If all of us lived at the same density level as New York City, the world's population would cover about 250,404 square miles. That means there would be technically enough space for all 7.5 billion people to live in Texas, which is 268,570 square miles in total. Granted, things might be a little crowded. Over 40 billion in New York City have their own zip codes. Speaking of densely populated areas, Manhattan, the most crowded of New York City's five boroughs, is so cramped that it has over 200 zip codes. Some skyscrapers are even large enough to have one of their own. The Empire State Building, the Chrysler Building, the MetLife Buildings are just a few that can claim exclusive rights to their own unique zip code. And Alaska is the country's westernmost and easternmost state. When you look at a map, you'll notice that Alaska is the westernmost part of the United States. But you might not guess that Alaska is also the country's easternmost state. How could that be? The islands in Alaska's Aleutian Chain extend out into the eastern hemisphere. Boston and Austin are the only two U.S. state capitals with rhyming names. Raleigh and Albany? Not so much. Concord and Carson? Nah. Try again. Turns out Boston and Austin are the only two state capital cities in the United States with names that rhyme. I bet you didn't know these other surprising facts about America, which we will look at later. From Stamford, Connecticut, all cardinal directions lead to New York. If you drove north in a straight line from Stamford, Connecticut, you would end up in the state of New York. The same goes for traveling south, west, and east, although you need an amphibious vehicle to complete the journey. Try it for yourself. Take a look at a map. Parts of Nevada are farther west than Los Angeles, California. California is the one of the westernmost U.S. states and makes up the majority of the nation's west coast. However, the city of Reno, Nevada is nearly 300 miles from the ocean. Believe it or not, Reno is roughly 86 miles farther west than the coastal city of Los Angeles. Neither Florida nor California have the longest U.S. coastline. Most people would probably guess that Florida or California have the longest coastline in the country. But in reality, Alaska is the national coastline champ. Its coast spans 6,640 miles or 10,686 kilometers in total, which is more than all of the other 49 states combined. The United States boasts a mountain that is taller than Mount Everest. At 29,028 feet, or 8,848 meters, Mount Everest is considered the world's highest mountain above sea level. However, the tallest mountain in the world is actually located in the United States. Hawaii's Mauna Kea is over 32,000 feet, 10,000 meters, tall when measured from the seafloor, because it only reaches 13,796 feet, 4,205 meters, above sea level, and over half of its base sits beneath sea level, it often doesn't receive the same hype as the Himalayas. California has more residents than all of Canada. Canadian residents celebrate a milestone in 2015 when the country reached a population of 36 million people for the first time. But that's still about 3 million people short of California's population. Roughly 39 million people live in the Golden State, which also happens to be the most populous state in America. You can walk from the United States to Russia. Yes, really. During certain times of the year, you can travel by foot between the United States and Russia, thanks to two islands named Big and Little Diomede. Big Diomede is the easternmost part of the Russian Federation. Its neighbor, Little Diomede, is a part of Alaskan territory. When the water freezes in the winter, brave travelers can cross the short distance, about 2.5 miles, between the two islands. Do so at your own risk, though. While experts say making the journey is theoretically possible, it is dangerous and certainly not recommended. The United States is home to the world's shortest river. Go ahead. Name a few American rivers. The Mississippi, the Colorado, the Rio Grande might be the first to come to mind. While these famous waterways get a lot of fanfare, many forget about Little Roe River in Montana. Roe flows only about 200 feet, making it the shortest river in the world. I wonder why they named it a river. I mean, at 200 feet, it sounds more like a stream. Two U.S. states do not share borders with any other U.S. state. They are, you guessed it, Hawaii and Alaska. On the flip side, two other states share borders with eight states each, the most in the entire country. Missouri borders Iowa, Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Nebraska. Meanwhile, Tennessee borders Kentucky, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, and Missouri. The western United States used to have enormous lakes, not two. During a period called the last glacial maximum over 20,000 years ago, the states of Nevada, Utah, Oregon, and California contained bodies of water so huge they rivaled the Great Lakes. Over time, the giant lakes shrank to global temperatures began to rise until they eventually disappeared altogether. That's also the fact that that was the source of huge aquifers in the western part of the country. Otherwise, it'd be a desert. A piece of Africa is underneath the United States. You might recall that long ago, a supercontinent called Pangaea broke apart to form the seven continents we know them today. Now, 250 million years later, geologists have discovered a chunk of Africa that is stuck around in North America. It's located near Alabama, just off the coast of the southeastern states. The United States borders three oceans, not just two. It's common knowledge that the United States shares a coastline with the Atlantic and the Pacific Oceans. While few realize, though, in its country, it also touches the Arctic Ocean along Alaska's northern border. The four largest U.S. cities are in Alaska. When you think big cities, you probably think of bustling metropolises like New York, Chicago, and L.A. While those cities might some of the most highly populated, they aren't the biggest in terms of area. All four of the most sprawling cities are in Alaska: Sitka, Juneau, Wrangell, and Anchorage. Only one U.S. state grows coffee. Sorry, local foodies, but most of your beans will have to come from overseas. The only place you'll find coffee beans growing in the United States, barring Puerto Rico, is Hawaii. And even more surprisingly, the pineapples that made Hawaii famous were originally imported there from South America, and Florida used to be the primary U.S. pineapple state. America's first capital wasn't Washington, D.C. I knew this one. And nope, it wasn't Philadelphia either. When the U.S. Constitution was ratified, the country's capital was New York City, where it stayed for a year before moving to Philly and then to D.C., which didn't exist, of course, in those days. Los Angeles used to have a much longer name. Historians dispute what the first settlers called the city, but they can at least agree it was longer than L.A., according to the County of Los Angeles. It was first known as El Pueblo de la Reina de Los Angeles, but eventually shortened because, well, that was quite the mouthful. Only one state is triply landlocked. A landlocked state doesn't touch an ocean, gulf, or bay. A doubly landlocked state means you need to travel through two other states or a state in a Canadian province to get to one of those bodies of water. The only states that triply landlocked is three states' province away from the ocean on every side: Nebraska. The states with the most earthquakes isn't California. The Golden State might be known for its crazy frequent earthquakes, but it's actually not the top state for shakes. Alaska has more earthquakes every year than any other state, thanks to the fact that it sits on one of the fastest-moving underwater tectonic faults. There's only one U.S. capital without a McDonald's. You can't make a trip to Montpelier, Vermont, and expect to get a Big Mac without traveling to another town. It also happens to be the smallest U.S. capital, which could explain its lack of golden arches. The U.S. border is next to more than two countries. Of course, the continental United States is south of Canada and north of Mexico. But that's not all. If you include ocean borders, it also neighbors with Russia, Cuba, and the Bahamas. Now that you're several facts smarter, check out these 100 incredible facts about practically everything, which we're not going to do right now because we're going to do something else. Although the order period for Christmas stuff is pretty much over, there's still always danger out there for scams. And one of the things we're going to look at right now is Amazon scams to avoid at all cost. Thwart scammers in their path by not falling for any of these scams. Keep your private information safe by avoiding these Amazon scams. These are headlines I'm reading. Unfortunately, there seems to be no shortage of scams out in the world. Phone call scams, email scams, text scams, Cash App scams, and online scams exist as attempts to take personal information from the public. Scammers can even pose as representatives of big companies like Amazon in attempts to steal customers' information. One way to keep yourself safe from these scams is to know what they are and how to identify them. Here are some big Amazon scams to avoid and what steps you can take to keep your private information safe. Why do scammers want your information? Ray Walsh, a digital privacy expert with ProPrivacy, says scammers want your information for a few reasons. A scammer's primary desire is to steal personal information and gain control of people's devices to steal data that is useful for the purpose of engaging in fraud or identity theft. Scammers can use your captured data to access your accounts, make purchases, and engage in other fraudulent activities. Scammers can get this information through multiple scams, including Apple ID phishing scams. Amazon scams to avoid. Now that we know why these scammers want your information, here are some of the Amazon scams to avoid to protect it from falling into the wrong hands. Phone calls about your Amazon Prime account. I have a Prime account, and I have gotten phone calls, but I've gotten emails. Walsh says that people must watch out for a specific scam involving a phone call regarding your Amazon Prime account. Typically, the scammer will call someone and tell them that a Prime account has been taken out under their name. They'll then transfer the unsuspecting customer to someone claiming to be an Amazon customer support agent, but is actually a scammer trying to steal their personal data. They can also try to get the customer to do something dangerous. Scammers attempt to coerce them into installing remote access software that gives the scammer direct access to their machine to steal personal information for the purposes of engaging in fraud and identity theft. By the way, if you receive a phone call you don't recognize from one of these area codes, it can be a scam call. And the area codes are, I'm going to run down here until I find them real quick, 473, let's see, 232 is Sierra Leone, 242 is the Bahamas, 246 is Barbados, 260 is Antigua, 284, 345, 441, 473, 649, 664, 721, 758, 767, 784, 809, 829, and 849, 868, 869, and 876 are all codes that you should be aware of because they're probably scammers. Phone calls about unauthorized purchases from your account. The Federal Trade Commission warns people about a specific phone call scammers use to scare people into giving up their information. The phone call typically says there's something wrong with your Amazon account. They can mention an order that can't be fulfilled, suspicious activity on your account, or that one of your packages has been lost. The call may ask you to press 1 to connect with a representative to straighten it out. If you receive a phone call like this, the FTC urges you to hang up the phone and not press 1. If the scammers give you a phone number to call, do not call that number, and by all means, do not give out your personal information at any point during the call. Text messages saying you want a prize. If you receive it, oh, I get these all the time. I don't know how many times I've been offered a free drill or a free a hot pot or something. If you receive a text message supposedly from Amazon that says you want a prize or a raffle, do not click the link. The Better Business Bureau reports that scammers claiming to be from Amazon are texting people and saying they want a prize. The text message then encourages people to click the link to arrange the prize's delivery. If you receive this message, do not click the link. It could be a link to a phishing website that aims to steal your Amazon login credentials, financial information, and other personal information. Fake confirmation emails. Confirmation emails are meant to tell us that our order is placed, but scammers can use fake confirmation emails to steal your account information. Scammers often leverage fake Amazon order confirmation emails to panic victims into following a link to the fake Amazon login page. If the victim falls to the scam and enters the credentials into the page, the scammer will steal that information to be able to access and take control of the account. If you receive a confirmation email and aren't sure if it's real, go to your Amazon account and look under your orders to see if any orders match the details in the mail. If they don't, that's a major red flag that the email is a scam. For instance, if you order cleaning products on Amazon, the confirmation email details, including items' names, the order's cost, and the order's delivery date, should match the details on your account. Congratulations, you've won, or discount emails. Just like with the congratulatory text messages previously mentioned, if you get an email that seems to be from Amazon saying that you've won a prize or are eligible for a discount, use caution before clicking any links. These could be phishing emails used to steal your information. Those emails leverage people's excitement to get them to act without thinking and forward them to a scam website that captures any of the personal information they enter to claim their voucher or prize, Walsh says. Oh, scams involving Amazon gift cards. Unfortunately, there are many scams that involve the use of Amazon gift cards. Ramsey Ryan Barrett, founder and CEO of ORAM Corporate Advisors, warns about a specific gift card scam involving your workplace. You might get a scam email pretending to be a coworker, your boss, or even a higher-level executive at your workplace. It may say something like, "I forgot my wallet at home. Can you please go buy me 10 Amazon gift cards and send me the numbers over the phone or by email?" Barrett explains. The scam goes on when you give the numbers from the card over the phone, and the phone hangs up, or if you give the numbers by email. If that's not the only Amazon... If not only Amazon gift card scam to look out for, though, according to Amazon, there are some other notable Amazon gift card scams. COVID-19 scams. If you get an email or text message requesting that you buy Amazon gift cards and send the cards or claim codes to someone to help with COVID-19 treatments or efforts. Job offer scams. If you get a call that encourages you to apply for a work-from-home Amazon job, it talks about great pay and making your own hours. There's a catch, though. If the scammer tells you that you got the job, they may ask you to buy a starter kit or pay a startup fee with Amazon gift cards. Family emergency scams. Scammers may call or email and claim to be a lawyer, law enforcement agent, or other representative for a family member. They'll say, "Oh, this person is in distress and needs your financial help right away." They may tell you to buy Amazon gift cards to settle the matter. How can you tell if it's a scam? One key way to tell if something is an Amazon scam is if the message you're receiving is leveraging your emotions against you. Whether you receive a call, an email, or a text message purporting to be from Amazon, always consider whether it is making you feel heightened emotions. And if it is making you feel excited or scared, then it is vital to carefully consider whether you are being scammed. The urgency of these requests is also a telltale sign of a scam. Most scams will create an event for you to do something immediately, and that should be a red flag. When it comes to phone calls, Amazon's help and customer service documents state that while some of Amazon's department make outbound calls to customers, legitimate Amazon representatives will never ask you to provide or verify personal information. So if you receive a phone call claiming to be from Amazon and they ask for personal information, that's a red flag. If you receive an email, Wall says to look at it carefully. Are there spelling and or grammar mistakes in the email? If so, that could be an indicator that the email is fake. Also, take a look at the sender's email address. Does it look legitimate? If you have doubts, play it safe and don't click anything in the email. Also, there are things that simply seem too good to be true. Most of the time, they are. If you randomly receive a $500 Amazon gift card or a $1,000 Amazon voucher via email or text, don't click the links. If you want to know if it's real, contact Amazon directly to get confirmation. The same thing can be said for something you see on Facebook. If it seems way good to be true, it could be a Facebook scam. What to do if you've fallen for an Amazon scam? There may come a time when you fall for an Amazon scam. If you do, it's important to act fast. Walsh says to change your Amazon password immediately, and if you use the same password for multiple accounts in your name, change those passwords too. If your financial information has been compromised, try to get ahead of the scammers before they attempt to use your information. Contact the police and your bank, cancel any cards or accounts you believe to have been put at risk, and freeze any accounts that could be defrauded. It's also important to monitor your credit to ensure no new accounts are created or loans are taken out in your name. If you receive a scam message from someone pretending to be your superior or coworker, Barrett recommends contacting your work IT department and the person the scammer pretended to be as soon as possible. Amazon also encourages people to report scam correspondences as soon as they receive them. That way they can investigate the messages. You can also report scams through the BBB's scam tracker. How to protect yourself from Amazon scams. Do not click suspicious links in emails or text messages. Do not give your personal information out via phone, email, or text. Scan emails for grammatical errors and or spelling mistakes. And that's pretty common. I've seen a lot of those. If you receive an email, check the sender's email address to see if it's legitimate. Report any scam messages you get to Amazon. Double-check everything. If you get a message about an order, check if it's listed under your order section in your account. Compare the details to see if it's legitimate. Keep up with the news and do not research on any new Amazon scams that may come up. Trust your gut. If you have any doubts about the message's legitimacy, don't engage with it. Remember, if you have questions about a message you receive that seems to be from Amazon, you can call their customer service line at 888-280-4331. I'll say that again, 888-280-4331, to attempt to verify its legitimacy. And now to switch to another a totally different subject. An old friend comes through. The year Santa suit went from signature red to true blue. On Friday evening in December, 2 weeks before Christmas, I lost my job. I hadn't seen it coming. I was excited for the weekend when my daughter Kristen, then 12, and I planned to get our Christmas tree. Then I listened to my voicemail. "But we're sorry, but your work assignment has ended as of today." My heart sank. I wasn't just a single parent. I was the only parent. My paycheck was survival. The next day, as we searched for our tree, I struggled to be cheerful as I pried each price tag. "Is everything okay?" Crystal asked. "You seem worried." "I got some bad news yesterday," I told her. "I lost my job." "Oh, no," Crystal said. "Well, I have $100 from Grandma I can give you." "Absolutely not," I told her. Monday morning, I dropped Crystal at school and set off my money-making pursuits. I headed to the pawn shop with a garnet ring set in a 14-karat gold that my mother had given me a decade earlier. "The best I can do is $70, the owner said. "The stones are worthless. We're only interested in the gold." Next, with the antique store, I sold my 6 Precious Moment figurines for $150 and ended up today $220 richer. Over the next week, I furiously applied for jobs as my bank account grew smaller. I felt as if the world was closing in on me. On a weekend afternoon, I dropped Crystal in a wealthy gated community for a birthday party. I watched as she went in and surrounded by all the nice things we couldn't afford. I drove home defeated. Back at home, I glanced out the window. It had been snowing on and off all morning. I noticed a petite woman with short white hair struggling to open her car door against the wind. As she got out, I realized it was my old professor, Sister Esther Heffernan. I hadn't seen her since we'd met for lunch 3 months ago. I'd first met Sister Esther 10 years earlier when I was her student at Edgewood College in Madison, Wisconsin. Crystal was 3 at the time, and sometimes I took her to class. Sister Esther was understanding and would bring coloring books to occupy Crystal. Even after I graduated, Sister Esther kept in touch. I'd grown to love her like family. I rushed to the front of my building. "What are you doing out in this weather?" I asked as we chugged. "Well, I tried to call last week but couldn't get through. Then I called your job and said that you weren't working there anymore. So I thought I would come by," Sister Esther said. "I have gifts for you and Crystal." I made her a cup of tea and we talked. Just being in Sister Esther's presence gave me hope that things would be all right. As she got up to leave, she handed me a Christmas card. "This is for you," she said as she kissed me on the cheek. I walked her to her car and waved as she pulled away. And when I opened the card, I gasped in shock. $100 bills fell under the table. Tears of gratitude puddled in my eyes as I counted. Sister Esther had given me $1,000. On Christmas morning, Krista and I gathered around our tree, and I joyfully watched as she opened her gifts. I silently thanked Sister Esther in my heart. It has been 14 years since that Christmas, but I've never forgot what Sister Esther did for us. In 2020, at age 91, Sister Esther died, but the love she gave me during her life lives on in the hearts of many. I am lucky to be one of them. Mixed metaphors. The pen can't be mightier than the sword if actions speak louder than words. Someone needs to make up their mind here. Secret Santas. The big guy's best-kept secret? He's got elves everywhere. I'd like to propose a roast. Our entire household caught COVID-19 just a few days before Christmas. Amid the stress, I forgot that I'd already ordered a rib roast for a holiday dinner. When the butcher called to tell us it was ready, I told him that unfortunately we'd caught COVID and couldn't pick it up. He replied, "I'll drop it off and I'll get off work. You shouldn't be without Christmas dinner." The doorbell rang at 5:15 p.m. The roast was hanging on the doorknob. The butcher waved from the end of the driveway, and I asked how to pay. He said, "Merry Christmas. Just get better." Victoria Separank, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Guardian Angels. This was my first Christmas as a newlywed and mother in Cadillac, Michigan. I had our Christmas shopping fund and cash in my pocket. When I got to the register, it was gone. I retraced my steps and found two strangers standing guard over my bank envelope on the aisle floor. I guess the relief on my face was enough evidence it belonged to me. They walked away before I could thank them. But it's been 51 years, and I still remember their faces. Joanne Nichols, Niceville, Florida. Nice name for the place. Earning His Wings. I was fresh out of college and had my first business trip on December 26th. That morning I said to guided by visiting family and left for the airport, or tried. My car battery was dead. It was pre-cell phone. My family had already left my new place. I didn't know anyone in the area, and there were no cabs. This was my first real job. I was supposed to meet executives at the airport and board the corporate jet. Panicked. I started walking the 5 miles to the office. It was pitch black and snowing. I must have been a sight, a suit walking along a slushy road at 5:30 a.m., struggling with my luggage and briefcase. Before long, a motor stopped and graciously offered me a ride. I made it to the airport on time, and laughter replaced my fear of getting fired as I shared the tale of my crazy morning with a happy outcome, thanks to the kindness of a stranger. Robert Owasani, Canal Fulton, Ohio. A force of goodwill. In my early 20s, I was poor and living alone, desperately wanted a Christmas tree. The year before I had done without. I went to the Lions Club lot and told them I had only $10, but did they have a little Charlie Brown tree I could buy. The wonderful man looked at me and said I could pick any tree I wanted. From then I always bought my trees from them. Dorothy Dougherty, Carlsbad, California. As a Lion who for many years sold Christmas trees, I can empathize with that. Clearing things up. I had 16 inches of snow to clear just before Christmas. After struggling for nearly 4 hours, I was ready for a break. But there was still a 3-foot snowbank at the end of the driveway. As I mustered the energy to make an opening for the mail carrier, the city plow driver paused his route to clear it for me. I was cold, exhausted, and so thankful I wanted to cry. This gentleman made a 60-year-old woman's day. I chalk it up to the Christmas spirit. Lorraine Belgosian, Waltham, Massachusetts. Points well taken. My husband and I were at checkout with a full cart of groceries just after Thanksgiving. Money was tight, and the bill was adding up. We started picking which items to put back. Suddenly a woman appeared, begging us to let her pay. She said she needed the points on her credit card. She swiped, signed, and disappeared. My husband, the cash, and I were all stunned. Moments earlier, we were worrying about how we would buy Christmas gifts for our grandkids. Now we had groceries and plenty of Christmas cash. Kirsten Mosley, Lisbon, Maine. Ave Grande, Venti Trenta. My father's favorite song was Ave Maria. He'd sing it every morning when he got ready for work. Last year, when I was shopping, I heard his song playing in a coffee shop. I automatically thought of my dad, who had passed years ago, and I got teary-eyed. When my coffee was ready, the barista handed it to me and said, "Merry Christmas. The person in front of you paid and asked me to deliver the message." Connie Lightfoot, Cincinnati, Ohio. A class act. One Christmas, I was buying gifts from my Sunday school class. An angel ornamental picture frame and some candy for each student. On the way to the register, I saw The Christmas Fox, a wonderful book to help kids and adults understand it's not what you bring, but that you come. I stopped in the aisle to count my cash and realized I was blocking a couple's path. I apologized and explained, then moved over and resumed counting. I was short by a few dollars. As I debated whether I should buy the ornaments or the books, the woman gave me a handful of bills, told me to buy both. For me, Christmas is always sweeter because of the memory of this generous stranger. Kimberly Parker, Hackett, Arkansas. My brother, my hero. Shortly before I was born, my father, making Christmas promises he never expected to keep, told my brother that if I arrived on his birthday, he could name me. This is how, for a short while, I was known as Clark Kent Loggins. Now that's funny. Well, we're going to switch over now to Consumer Reports. And an interesting story. For some reason, the post office occasionally forgets to deliver my Consumer Reports magazine. And so I contacted them, and they said, okay, we'll send you the thing that was lost, because this is not the first time this has happened. I honestly think the postal carrier sticks it in their bag and just reads it. But in any event, we are now, even though it's the first reading of January, this is actually the December Consumer Reports, but I don't think it's too bad, so we'll do it. Basically, what they're doing in this edition, which is kind of interesting, they're going to review their top picks of 2022, and they'll go through that. So, this is from Marta El Talado, the president and CEO of Consumer Reports. I often get asked how CR decides what to test and what to write about, or what corporate overreaches to investigate. Well, one way we keep our finger on the pulse of the consumer market is by asking consumers. Every year, we survey more than 1 million, including through our American Experience surveys. The insights we gain help us put consumers first in a marketplace that too often makes it challenging for them to choose wisely. They give us a window into new trends that may be emerging, some promising and some more troublesome. For example, in one of our recent nationally representative surveys, only 35% of Americans said they could trust that the products and services they buy will not cause physical harm. That's alarming, and nearly two-thirds said the federal government does too little to protect consumers today. A way to rebuild trust is by holding companies and our government accountable. But CR surveys found that about half of Americans believe Internet service providers are hardly ever or never held accountable for unfair consumer practices. And these perceptions are reinforced by headlines about issues like toxic chemicals being found in our water and the seemingly endless drumbeat of product recall announcements. As we look to the year ahead, we'll work hard to bring you the information you need to choose the best products for your home, drive the safest, most reliable cars, and make consequential decisions about your health, whether you're looking at Medicare options or seeking ways to save money on prescription drugs. It will all take all of us to rebuild trust we deserve in the marketplace. We look forward to amplifying your voices, working with and you to demand a marketplace that's fair, just, and safe for all. Seeking free credit reports. Credit scores can make or break your financial future, potentially determining whether, for example, you can land an affordable home or auto loan. And they're frequently used by employers to evaluate job applicants, by landlords to screen prospective tenants, and by insurance companies to price their policies. So the ramifications can be enormous if credit reports, the collection of raw credit information on which credit scores are based, aren't accurate. In fact, when CR asked consumers to review their credit reports in 2021, about a third of the almost 6,000 volunteers reported finding errors. While this won't naturally represent a sample, the findings were comparable to earlier studies by other organizations. The best way to ensure that your credit reports are accurate is to check them frequently. That has been relatively easy since the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic, when the three big reporting agencies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, began offering weekly free access. The program was scheduled to end January 1st, when they plan to revert to early policies of one free report per year, as required by federal law. In September, CR advocates objected, arguing that we should always have free access to our own credit reports. A week later, the agency reversed course, extending the free credit reports through 2023. Now CR will push to make free access permanent and for agencies to do more to ensure that reports are accurate. You can help by signing our petition at cr.org/free reports and at cr.org/credit errors. You can learn about how to fix credit reporting error if you find one. 34% of the volunteers who checked their credit reports for CR's credit checkup project found at least one error. Update on PFAs. For more than 15 years, CR has sounded the alarm about PFAs, per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, a class of chemicals found in many water and greaseproof products and linked to a long list of health problems, including low birth weights and increased risk of some cancers. In August, the Environmental Protection Agency proposed designating two common PFAs as hazardous substances under the Superfund law. It's a historic move that will hold companies that pollute the environment with PFAs accountable and facilitate the cleanup of many affected communities. Cleaning up car sales. What's at stake? Auto dealers have long had a reputation for shady business practices, and not without reason. The Federal Trade Commission gets more than 100,000 consumer plates per year related to automobiles, many of them citing bait-and-switch marketing, bogus or surprise fees, and other deceptive sales tactics. And recent inventory shortages seem to have emboldened many dealers to be even more brazen, says Chuck Bell, CR's Financial Services Policy Director. CR has for more than a decade been urging policymakers to do more to prevent deceptive auto sales tactics. In July, the FTC took an important step, proposing rules that would, among other things, require dealers to disclose the full price a consumer will have to pay for a car, prohibit dealers from forcing buyers to accept expensive add-on features such as gap insurance, and make it illegal to advertise unavailable vehicles or discounts. In September, CR joined a coalition of more than 100 public interest organizations calling on the FTC to issue the proposed rules. CR also submitted more than 200 stories of auto dealer abuse that we collected recently from our members. And as further evidence that stronger consumer protections are needed, we cited a 2021 CR investigation demonstrating that car dealers frequently overcharge consumers for auto loans. What you can do, learn how to protect yourself from deceptive auto sales practices at cr.org/car-buying-tips. Your feedback. Our October 2022 article, Watch What You Really Want for Less, offered ways to save on TV streaming services like Amazon Prime, Hulu, and Netflix. Our readers shared your own thoughts, too. To add to your voice, go to cr.org/save-on-streaming. I liked the article, especially the breakdown of services and prices. One element missing was the cost of Internet service itself, particularly for standalone Internet package without cable versus an Internet and cable bundle, which can play a significant role in the total bill. Editor's note, moving from cable TV to streaming does require a decent Internet connection. Several things will affect price, including where you live and whether there's competition in your area. The cost of Internet service can go up if you separate it from TV service. Try negotiating with your provider as cable companies lose TV business to cord cutters. They appear to be more willing to deal to keep their Internet customers. Ask about a lower-cost plan. It may not be advertised. Providers may have plans specifically for lower-income older adults. Also, a new affordability connectivity program administered by the Federal Communications Commission provides up to a $30 a month discount for eligible households. Found out more at fcc.gov/acp. Finally, there are some alternative types of Internet service, such as fixed wireless or 5G, that might work for you. T-Mobile, for example, is now offering a 5G home Internet service for $50 a month, with typical speeds from 33 to 182 megabytes per second. And you can go to tmobile.com/home-internet-eligibility to see if it's available in your area. Your article missed out on one way to save. My library lends Roku devices preloaded with streaming services like Amazon, Netflix, HBO, BritBox, Hulu, ESPN, Disney, and more, free of charge. We binge what we want and enjoy what our tax dollars provide. That's from Lyle in Illinois. I don't know whether our libraries do or not. One of the reasons we've kept cable is because we really like having a DVR. We record almost everything we watch on our cable channels and then skip the commercials on playback. Your article mentioned that some streaming services offer a cloud DVR. How do those work, and can you skip the commercials? Editor's note, cloud DVRs work like cable DVRs, except that programs are stored in the cloud or an Internet service instead of on a hard drive in your cable box. Some allow you to skip at least some commercials, typically by fast-forwarding, but you need to check each service and the streaming device you're using to see what degree. Some services, such as Philo, mark the commercials so you can skip over them with the press of a button. In regard to your excellent October article, CR's Long COVID Recovery Guide, my wife got hit with the long-haul version of the disease in March of 2020 and had to deal with it for 14 awful months. She found a terrific acupuncturist who was instrumental in her recovery and is now involved treating long COVID sufferers at a major hospital. Editor's note, people with long COVID-19 often become their own best advocates in finding relief. Treatment guidelines from the American Academy of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation say that although there's no direct evidence to support the use of acupuncture in treating the condition, many patients have said it improves symptoms of fatigue. Some preliminary evidence indicates acupuncture may be helpful for other post-viral conditions similar to long COVID. Safest auto brands. For years, CR has praised Subaru for its driver safety features. Yet in safety features you might want now in the October issue, Subaru is notably absent. The Subarus we have owned over the years, with all their safety features, have helped us avoid 3 serious accidents. Editor's note. While Subaru does offer important safety features on nearly all of its vehicles, they aren't always standard equipment on every trim. Only one Subaru model has a blind spot warning as standard, and about half of Subaru models lack standard automatic emergency braking. The brands we highlighted had the most models with these features as standard equipment. Cooking oil options. Your October article, The New World of Cooking Oils, was highly informative. However, no mention was made of the widely used corn oil or peanut oil. Any reason? Unfortunately, we couldn't include every type of oil, but peanut and corn oils are good choices for high heat cooking and have a neutral flavor. Nutritionally, peanut oil is high in monosodium fat, while corn oil is rich in polyunsaturated fats. Car price questions. On page 53 of the October issue, you listed a retail price for the Toyota RAV4 Hybrid at about $34,000. Where is this vehicle, as the cheapest one in my area, start at $40,000? Dealers of all makes are adding $4,000 to the 6,000 MSRPs, the price CR1 suggested we negotiate it down from. And that's from Asheville, North Carolina. Editor's note. We list the sticker price and the price we paid. Most car prices are elevated these days, including the popular RAV4, which is selling nationally at about 6 to 9% over the sticker price at press time. Use the car buying and pricing tab on your car model pages, cr.org/cars, to see the local transaction prices and try to build and buy a car buying service to net a fair deal. And do-it-yourself painting tips. Great advice in painting made easier in the October issue. I have one more bit of advice. Save your stir stick. On the handle, write the room you painted and the brand of paint, the product number, the color name. Then when you need to do a touch-up, you won't have to guess where you bought the paint and what color it is. Good point. And there's a little insert here. Where does canola oil come from? Doesn't it come from canolas? In The New World of Cooking Oils in October, you state that canola oil is particularly good for health. What plant does the canola oil seed come from? I've never heard of a canola plant. There's actually a canola plant. It's part of the Brassica family, which also includes broccoli and kale. Plant breeders in Canada developed it from the rapeseed plant in the 1970s, and that's where its name comes from, a combination of Canada, C-A-N, and oil, O-L-A. Canola. What's the difference between a stain remover and laundry detergent? Stain remover sprays, like the 3 shown above, which are OxyClean, Shout, and Spray Wash, are typically made with the same ingredients often found in your regular liquid laundry detergent bottle, surfactants, enzymes, and polymers, which are cleaning agents and compounds that help remove soil from clothing. But stain removers are more concentrated. While regular detergents are made to be diluted with lots of water, that said, in past tests, we found that the best liquid detergents, such as Tide Plus, Ultra Stain Release, and Persil Clean Pro Clean Stain Fighter, can rival the stain-removing power of many sprays if you dab some of the detergent directly onto a stain and let it soak for 5 minutes before washing. And these are some of the items that were tested. Slow cookers. Tested 19 models. We test for the tenderness of meat after slow cooking for 5 hours on high heat and 8 hours on low heat. How easy the model is used and clean. Median score was 72, the range from 59 to 87. Makes excellent stew is the Hamilton Beach Tracker 6-quart for $82. Got an 87. Big enough to feed a crowd. The Elite Platinum 8.5-quart programmable. It cost $70, scored a 72. Nice price was Black & Decker Digital Programmable at $62. Also scored a 72. And was mentioned stain remover sprays. We tested 6 products. How well a spray removed dirt, coffee, salad dressing, and other tough stains. Median score was 76. The range was 71 to 86. The highest was OxyClean, which got 86, and it was scored 36 per ounce. Shout did very well. The triple acting spray scored a 77. And Spray and Wash Maxi Spray was 25 cents an ounce. By the way, the Shout was only 11 cents per ounce. Robotic vacuums. We tested 41 models. We test for how well a vacuum cleans carpets, bare floors, including picking up pet hair, how easy and quiet it is to use, and more. About the score, the median was 65 and the range was 32 to 83. That's a big range. Great on carpets, but pricey. The Samsung Jet Bought Air, $1,300, 72 overall score. Quiet and reliable, iRobot Rhomba 13, $500, 72. And low clearance, 3 inches tall, Econovax U2 Pro at 350, it got a 64. Over-the-range microwaves. We tested 59 models. We test for evenness of defrosting and heating of food, ease of use, and more. We also test how well the built-in exhaust fan vents cooking gases. Median was 66, range was 46 to 86. Best overall was the Whirlpool WMH 5352 at $550, scored an 86. The powerful fan for venting is the LG LM203, $450, got an 84. And the reliable land was the IKEA Logan at $230, got an 81 score. Food processors for small kitchens. We tested 57 models. How well a model chops almonds and onions, shreds carrots, slims, slices celery, grates cheese, purees peas, and more. Median was 61, score range was 35 to 81. The highest ranking they have here is a 73, which is the Consonart Pro Classic, 7 cup, excellent at chopping and very quiet, $130, scored a 73. Super at shredding and grating, the Ninja Food Ultimate System, which has a whole bunch of stuff with it, it's a 67, it's $200. Space-saving bargain, Hamilton Beach Compact 8 cup food processor and vegetable chopper for only $40, it scored a 64. That's kind of a cute-looking machine. We tested 9 models. We test for safety of the stroller, including its stability, braking. Oh, this is umbrella strollers. How well it maneuvers, how well it over different terrain, and more. Boy, I remember my daughter, we had an umbrella stroller. They sure are a lot fancier now than they were then. About the scores, median 71, range is 53 to 74. Deal on Wheels is Summer Infant 3D Light at $100, and it scored a 74. Lightweight in pounds, the Upper Baby G Light, $150, scored a 72. And Dream on Me Twin side by sub side for $100, and it scored a 62. What's the best way to keep your indoor plants healthy in winter? Winter's shorter days and drier air can mean your plants require a little extra TLC to thrive. First, you may need to adjust your watering schedule. Most houseplants don't need as much water during the winter months as they do the rest of the year. Instructions for proper watering should be in the care of the care tag that came with your plant. If that's long gone, you can look up care instructions for free on a website such as Almanac. But in general, you should water the soil only when it's mostly dry. Just stick your finger into it. If it feels dry at a depth of about 2 inches, it's time to water. Still unsure? Invest in a moisture meter, about $11 at Amazon or Walmart. A simple battery-free probe that can sense whether soil is dry, moist, or wet. When you do water your plant, wet the soil thoroughly and let the water drain completely. If the plant stirs and sits in a saucer, dump any excess water it collects after an hour to help prevent root rot. The right environmental conditions are important, too. Most plants thrive in temperatures of 65 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit by day and 60 to 65 Fahrenheit at night. So keep pots away from heat vents, radiators, and drafty windows. If the air in your home feels dry, consider placing a humidifier near your plants and setting it to keep the air at between 40 and 50% humidity, the optimal level for most houseplants and humans. Finally, if you don't think your plants are getting enough sunshine during the short winter days, a grow light, about $9 at Amazon, Home Depot, or Walmart, can help with that problem. Or skip all that extra work in favor of low-maintenance plant like the Sanscalvia, a.k.a. the snake plant, which grows well in low light without frequent watering. Why is there rust on my stainless steel fridge? I thought that couldn't happen. Despite its name, stainless steel can rust. This material is actually an iron alloy made of several metals, including chromium, which forms a chromium oxide layer on its surface. That layer prevents moisture from reaching and corroding the metal beneath it. But if that barrier is scratched or degraded by, for example, a bleach-based cleanser or any abrasives such as steel pads or metal brushes, moisture can get in and rust can develop. Instead, wash stainless steel items using mild soap and a clean cloth. Then rinse a small amount of water and be sure to dry completely. Or try using a dedicated stainless cleaner like Barkeeper's Friend Spray, which contains mineral oil to shield the steel's protective layer. These cleansers can also help rub away rust spots that may have already formed. Some manufacturers' websites, such as GE's and Kenmore's, also offer specific cleaning instructions for removing rust from their stainless steel appliances. If I drop food on the kitchen floor, does the 5-second rule really apply? Eating food that has been on the floor for less than 5 seconds, a practice known as somewhat jokingly as the five-second rule, is pretty common. In a CR poll on Instagram, 84% of participants confess that they've done it, with most reporting that they limit the practice to food that has fallen on the floors inside their own homes. But the truth is, this just isn't a good rule to live by. Although a few seconds of floor contact may seem harmless, a 2016 study from Rutgers University in New Jersey found that the transfer of bacteria from a contaminated surface to a piece of food can happen almost instantly. If you wear your shoes indoors, you may be transferring germs from the bottom of your shoes to your kitchen floor every time you walk through the room. Even if your kitchen floor appears to be very clean, there may be bacterial or viral hazards which are invisible to the naked eye lurking there, says James E. Rogers, Ph.D., Director of Food Safety Research and Testing at CR. So it's better not to risk it unless you can wash or peel the food that was dropped on the floor. Think apples, blueberries, potatoes, and onions before eating it, Rogers says. Well, while Christmas is over, it's never too late to have cheap Biscayne gifts available for Valentine's Day, birthdays, anniversaries, all that kind of stuff. So here's some kitchen gifts for $25 or less. These culinary accessories are favorites of our editors and expert chefs. McEvoy Ranch Extra Virgin Olive Oil for $12.50 for 100 milliliters. In past CR tests, we found McEvoy Ranch EVOO to be fresh tasting with green grassy and ripe fruit flavors. These small bottles can come in a variety of all flavors like basil and have a built-in pour spout. Marley's Monster Unpaper Towels, $18 for a six-pack. Our staffers were impressed by just how soft these reusable kitchen towels are. In addition to mopping up spills, Marley's Monster's colorful cotton flannels can be used as napkins, we suggest, and this one has pretty pictures of lemons on it. A Kyocera ceramic mandolin for $25. By the way, the unpapered towels are $18 for a six-pack. Ceramic mandolin for $25. In an out-of-home review of 11 mandolin slices by CR staffers, this one stood out for its performance. It has a single sharp blade on a slim, easy-to-store paddle and slices beautifully. Kitchen gifts for $25 or less continued. Bella Extra Wide Self-Centering Slot Toaster. Overall score was 66. The Bella Toaster has extra wide slots for bigger rolls and a dedicated bagel setting. Our test had found that it toasts nicely and is easy to use, and it only costs $20. Victor Rick's Oyster Knife, 3-inch Boston style at $19. An oyster knife may not sound like a kitchen staple, but Jeff Jihai Kim of the restaurant Miss Kim loves its versatility. I also use it to peel ginger or seed squash. Lots of things that I never do. Original Grilla Grip Cutting Boards, a set of three for $24. Our review of six cutting boards, this dishwasher safe set was among the most stable. They give a bit of a grip and feel great under your knife, says CR's Paul Hope. Victoria Pre-Seasoned Cast Iron Skillet for $20. Overall score was a 74. A smart gift for steak lovers, this cast iron pat was suited at browning and searing foods in our tests, plus it comes with a limited lifetime warranty. Greater Goods Digital Food Kitchen Skill at $14. Jesse Swazik, a food stylist and cookbook author, loves using this scale. Weighing ingredients ensures that baked goods come out perfect every time, he says. A Microplane Soft-Handled Zester, 12 inches for $16. Ideal for grating hard cheeses and zesting citrus. This product will really eat last. I've used one for over a decade, and it's still sharp, says CR's culinary expert Paul Hope. Nordic Ware's Natural Baker's Half Sheet for $18. Aluminum sheet pan to go-to for nicely baked cookies. It also resisted warping when heated and rated excellent in our durability lab test. And then the CR's Time Travel, Winter Warmers. In 1938, CR says to avoid suede gloves, which seal easily and can discolor. Better to buy leather gloves made from durable goat skin. In 1943, CR advises that real fur trim of coats, hats, and muffs is more decorative than practical. A fur scarf doesn't do much to protect from winter gales, we say. In 1951, storm windows reduce heating bills, report. Prioritize installing windows facing north or prevailing winds to retain the most heat for your money. In 1960, we test 39 electric heaters. None are terrific at heating whole rooms, but some, like this $40 Arvin, are very good at warming a person seated nearby. In 1976, we test heaters again and note that the safety has improved. Stable models such as baseboard heaters reduce tip-over tasks. In 1981, polar fleece, a new synthetic warming material, is created by Meldon Mills, a textile company now called Poltark. In 1982, in her popular workout tents, Jane Fonda wears leg warmers to keep her calf muscles toasty. It helps kick off an 80 fashion trend, which fortunately is no longer around. In 1985, to test comforters, TR tests a mannequin wired with temperature sensors to see how warm he stayed under each one. A mid-priced heirloom comforter takes first place. In 2015, we evaluate instant hot chocolate mixes and find tasty low-cal picks like Swiss Miss, Simply Cocoa Milk Chocolate for 100 calories. 2022, got cold feet. After trying 8 popular pairs, we recommended these breathable, non-itchy wool slippers with a leather sole. Glare-up shoe with leather sole, $105. 3 phones that offer superb battery life. Apple iPhone 13, the max at 1100. We've got a great high on battery charging, and battery life is 52.5, and recharging is yes. Wireless recharging is yes. The Samsung Galaxy A442 at $400. Gets a good battery charge, has a battery life of 49 hours, and wireless charging, yes. OnePlus Nordic N200, $240. Battery charging, duh, yes. Battery life hours, 46. Wireless charging, also, yes. What exactly are Q-tips? Q-tips are everywhere. You can find them in bathrooms, in doctor's offices, and in episodes of CSI. But what exactly does the name mean? Q-tips, those hygienic products that you can use for everything from gently applying ointments and creams to cleaning and dusting even hard-to-reach places, are staples of a doctor's offices and medicine cabinets the whole world over. It's no mystery that people often ignore the company's warnings and use them in episodes of ear cleaning. But you know what's a mystery? What the heck the Q means? The product name certainly rolls off the tongue better than the generic cotton swab name. That's for sure, because it's a quality name. A quality name that means quality tips. That's right. Q stands for quality Q-tips. Were first conceived by Leo Getzenstang, who observed his wife stick bits of cotton to toothpicks. He decided his wife had the right idea and decided to found the Leo Gerstang Infant Novelty Company in 1923, which would manufacture ready-to-use cotton swabs. But the product wouldn't pick up its now-famous name until 1926. For the first 3 years, cotton swabs were called Baby Gaze, which the company would be modified to become Q-tips Baby Gaze. Eventually, they dropped the Baby Gaze, although they were just left with Q-tips. Want some more Q-tip ideas? Make sure to check out clever ways to use Q-tips that are not on our agenda to read today. Sorry about that. And from all the day's work, I ordered customized lanyards to go with the new office security access cards. When the lanyards arrived, at first glance, they looked great. But not so much on the second glance. Instead of saying the Department of Juvenile Justice, they read Department of Juvenile Gestures. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.